Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Right. Welcome to Change Hackers, where we are mastering change in all areas of life. I am Melissa Ruth, your host here on Coach on Fire Radio. I'm coming to you from Houston, Texas, where it's nice and hot and humid today. In case you're new to the show, I am passionate about truly helping others, and I believe that true help comes from learning the keys to embracing change and making the best of the challenges life presents us. When I started this show, which was just a couple of months ago, my goal was to interview people who had to deal with change and learned not just to deal with it, but to rise above it. On my very first show, I interviewed Jeff Wolf, executive producer of Project Uncharted. If you haven't heard that show, go back and listen and check them out. He shared a few tips about how he overcame extreme shyness and uncertainty, and he shared a bunch of great information about how to deal with change. He taught us a lot about how to roll with the punches, so to speak, and I really enjoyed that chat between Jeff and myself. On my second show, I interviewed Debbie Montgomery Johnson. Now, her story is really interesting. She was happily married and then surprisingly widowed, a businesswoman who then fell in love with a man online. And I know you know what I'm going to say next. It turned out to be a scam artist. She has a beautiful story of how she came out of that. She reminds us that life rarely happens as we expect it to, but we can work through the pain by speaking up and helping others either avoid what we went through or make it through the same. That show was amazing and full of so much good information. Now, that wasn't it. On my third show, I spoke to Chrissy Bernal, special needs mom and public speaker. We again heard a trend. It is how life doesn't always happen the way we think it's going to. Isn't that interesting? But we have to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and keep on surviving. We have to, day by day. We also learned that we should reach out to learn from others who have been where we are. Oh, by the way, we aren't alone. I loved every single one of those talks, every single one of those shows, and each of the hosts had so much great information to share. So there's so much more we talked about in each of those shows that I encourage you to go back and listen to them if you haven't already. You can find them at www.melissaruth.net. Now, my name is spelled with one L and two S's. So that's MelissaRuth.net. Or to make it easy, you can just go to Facebook and search for Change Hackers. We have a group just to share with you the information all about the Change Hackers show and only about the Change Hackers. All right, so talking about real-life strategies that actually work in the face of these real-life changes is what this show is all about. My guest today, she dealt with her fair share of change and struggle, and we're going to pick her brain a bit about how she changed her thinking in order to find true peace and success. My guest, if you didn't already know, today is Regina Creighton. She's a nationally recognized speaker, MC, published author, and celebrity cupcake creator extraordinaire. I love it. Regina is traveling all over the country with her business and knocking it out of the park. Welcome, Regina, and thank you for taking time today to chat.
Good morning, Melissa, and thank you for having me. I'm really excited about being here with Change Hackers this morning.
Awesome. I just know this is going to be a great show. We have talked before. I know I met Regina about 6 months ago, and I have been so glad to follow you on social media. And so I just know everyone's going to learn so much. So listen, let's talk a little bit about who is Regina Creighton. You weren't always an entrepreneur making cupcakes and traveling all over the country, were you?
Unfortunately not. I worked in civil service for 25 years at Superior Court here in the Los Angeles area. It was a dream landing that job. I worked at several different courts in several different departments. And like I said, I did that for 25 years before entrepreneurship really grabbed me by the arm and said, come on, let's go. It's time.
Wow. So 25 years. So tell me, how did you get into civil service? Was it something you wanted to do, or did it just kind of fall in your lap?
Civil service was kind of implanted in me by my parents, by my dad in particular. My dad was like, you know, go to school, get a good job, come out and, you know, work for the government, county, city, or state. Stay there 35, 40 years, get your retirement, and then you don't have to do anything else.
So the 40-year plan. That's for sure.
Yes. The math.
Oh,
40
man.
Year
plan. Go ahead.
I said, yes, the mad 40-year plan.
Yeah, exactly. So you weren't just working. I'm sure you had other things that occupied your time while working full-time.
Exactly. Being a mother, being a wife, being a grandmother, all those things occupied my time. Taking care of, at the time, my mom was not in the best of health, taking care of my mom while taking care of my daughter. And part of that time, even before I was married, I was a single mom for 11 years. I was a single mom for 11 years before I was even married. And, you know, taking care of my daughter, my only mom, and going to work full time and sometimes
wow.
going to school and working a second job. Yeah, I was quite overwhelmed and consumed.
Wearing lots of hats and totally overwhelmed and busy and crazy all at the same time.
Right.
Totally know that feeling. So look, you were overwhelmed, you're busy, but there was always a piece of you, I'm sure, that really spoke to becoming an entrepreneur. What do you think was the key to making that jump from employee to entrepreneur?
Well, you know, making that jump really happened. Like, it's always been in me that I wanted to do that. But the true catalyst that really made me leap and just take entrepreneurship on full time was me actually getting sick and having to have emergency surgery. And sometimes
wow.
sometimes when something big happens to you like that, you look at life with a whole new meaning and you say, you know, either I'm going to sit on the pot or I'm going to make something happen. You know, I'm going to get up and make something happen. So, you know, with me getting sick, having to have emergency surgery, it was just, as I was off for 17 months, I just discovered that, you know what, either you're going to go back to that 9-to-5 that no longer satisfies you and no longer fulfills you because you've gone not as far as you can go in the entity, but as far as you want it to go.
Right.
I went as far as I wanted to go, you know. And I said, either I'm going to go back to that 9-to-5, that humdrum, because for me it was humdrum, or I'm going to take this leap of faith, I'm going to step out there, and I'm going to really make this entrepreneurship happen. It's not going to be a hobby anymore. I'm just going to do it full time. And so that was the catalyst by me actually getting sick.
Wow. And yet, it's so interesting you say that. I'm so fascinated. You will meet people who are hit with those kinds of changes, like being sick with emergency surgery, and you will hear either they stop functioning and stop participating in the world, they stop seeing that there's a possibility out there, or it's exactly the opposite, and it's the catalyst to pushing you forward. I love that because it shows us that it's really 90% of it is in our mind and what we decide to do. So
right.
What did you do with your time? 17 months, you know, I'm assuming mostly bedridden for some of that and recuperating. How did you feel your time?
Yeah, in the beginning, for the first like 9 months, I was home every day. I was bedridden. I was in a lot of pain still after the surgery. I had a lot of doctor's appointments, treatments, and all that kind of stuff. And what really fulfilled my time was social media. I am not a big television person. I do have shows that I like, but I can actually do without TV. My family can tell you I've never seen an episode of Empire. I've never seen Orange is the New Black. I'm just not into TV like that. Instead of me taking my time and watching Empire, I'm trying to build my empire. So during that time that I was off for 17 months, I discovered a live stream called Periscope, and Periscope became my TV. Yeah.
And it changes because you're surrounding yourself by people who are thinking differently and doing things differently and stretching, right?
Exactly. People with the same mindset, people with a common goal, with the intention of elevating themselves and just going to new levels and learning different things. Absolutely.
That's just amazing. So you're on Periscope. Were there specific people that really caught your eye?
Absolutely. Oh, my God. I have so many favorites on Periscope. But the top people that really caught my eye and really helped me change my lifestyle and helped me to enhance my mindset, my publishing consultant, Desiree Lee of D. Lee Inspires, Nicole Walters of MonetizeThyLife.com, Dr. Will Moreland of Will Moreland Enterprises.
Oh,
yeah, I love him. And Shalene Johnson. And Shalene is a California girl, so you know I got to listen to my California people.
And
Greg Cardone, so many people.
And so by forcing yourself to surround yourself with people who are out there and doing and they're active, right? They're doing more than depending upon someone else to pay them money, right? What was the thing that made you transition? Did it happen slowly over time where you started watching him and started thinking, hey, I could do this? Or was it kind of an immediate, oh, hey, I can do this now kind of thing?
No, it wasn't an immediate thing, Melissa. And as I thought that, you know, sometimes you say things, but you don't really pay attention to them. And
yes.
You actually put it in place, and then you go back and you play it in your mind, and you say, you know what, this is something that I've always said. And I guess when it was time to act upon it, that's what the Lord had me to do. But in my tenure at Superior Court during those 25 years, at various times, people would ask me, you know, my clients would come up to for me to help them or whatever. And they'd say, oh, you know, how long have you been here at Superior Court? And whatever the length of time was at the time, it could have been 10 years, it could have been 5, it could have been 15. You know, I'd say, oh, I've been, you know, with Superior Court for 15 years. And every person's response, every single one, when I thought about it, Melissa, every person's response was like, oh, my God, you have a long time until you retire. And what I would say, yeah, they would all, everybody, they would always say that. It didn't matter what courthouse I was working at. It didn't matter which department I was at. When they asked how long I had been there and whatever the response was, they'd all say, oh, you have a long time to retire. And as I thought about it, after I retired, I would always say to them, oh, no, not me. I'm retiring early with a whole lot of money coming through.
That's awesome.
You know how they say, you know, speak life over yourself and speak positive words over yourself? I would always say that, Melissa, but I never really, at the time, I never really thought much about it. I was just saying, oh, no, not me. I'm going out of here early with a whole lot of money. And for me to retire at 50, I went out early. Did I
for
yet
sure.
have a whole lot of money? I didn't. I don't. but I know it's coming because I've leaped into entrepreneurship, into the thing that I wanted the most. So me speaking that over myself, and I never really paid attention to it, I had to play it back in my mind and say, Regina, you've always said this. So there it is.
And you had said once in another conversation I heard that you had a dream in high school. It wasn't civil service. What was your dream in high school?
In high school, I wanted to be a newscaster. Oh, my God. I wanted to be like, you know, my mother always made me watch the news. She always made me do reports on current events, read the newspaper, read National Geographic and all that stuff, and look at the news. And she'd make me write a report on anything that I heard on the news. So I always wanted to be a newscaster, and I wanted to be out there in the field, and I wanted to say, reporting live from Inglewood, California, at the Forum, this is Regina Creighton. You know, I always wanted to do that, and I actually went to college and studied communications. I never graduated, but that was my field. That's what I wanted to do. And I never graduated. I never got in front of the camera on, you know, being a news anchor. But with live stream, I'm now in front of the camera. I'm now reporting all over the place. I'm now doing my own live stream every day. I'm doing my own radio show every night. So the thing that I really wanted to go into that I didn't go into professionally, I'm still doing it. And I just absolutely love it.
And I love this because it really speaks to something as it's a mind shift change. I have talked to, and even growing up, I've heard this all the time, you know, that you should do the 40-year plan. You get a job, you stay with that job, and you work that until you have enough in your 401k to retire, and you buy a cabin, and you retire, right? Well, now the government has said retirement age has been increased. Right. So now we're at 75, 77, something like that.
Oh, my gosh. It's awful.
So, I mean, I just think about it. I'm like, well, I'm not going to work until I'm 75, let alone 70. I hope not. I hope I'm going to be more prepared than that. But at the same time, I think it's interesting because before, when my parents' day and age, you pretty much had one career. You had one choice in life. You did that job until you didn't have to do it anymore. Now, today, that's not the case. We have the opportunity. You have access to social media. You're on what? You're on Periscope, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or not?
YouTube. Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah. See? So you have access to so much more, and I see you every day. You're on there and you're smiling and you're, hey, this is Gina Creighton. It's great to be up.
I can't hear you, Melissa. Can you hear me? I can't hear anything. I hope you can hear me. Melissa, are you there? Are you there, Melissa?
Going to die, people. Hello.
Hello.
Say something. Tell a story. God. And I'm on mute. I can't help you because Melissa decided not to listen to her shows. I know what this man is, Regina Creighton.
Can you hear me?
Are you friends with Regina?
Friends with Regina. I don't believe I am.
Please just check because Melissa's disappeared and she's saying, hello, Melissa, are you there? Hello. She's just bragging about how awesome she is. She does news shows and
Oh, right. Well, that was fun. I was talking to myself. So, welcome back to Change Hackers with Melissa Ruth. And let me see if we have Regina still on the line. All right. So we will see here in a minute if we've got Regina. There it is. Hold on a second, Regina. All right. Let's try that again.
Okay, great.
Thanks. Thanks for being patient. I love technical challenges, so that's all right. We'll get through it, okay?
No problem.
All right. So I was thinking I'd lost you, and obviously you were there, but I missed. So did you get a chance to answer the question?
Ask me the question again.
All right. Well, we'll just go right up to that. So I was saying, did you have, when you made the change from employee to entrepreneur, did you have immediate success?
Did I have immediate success? Well, what I had immediately was challenges. I had three major challenges. Yes, exactly right. I had three major challenges that hit me just about a week before I was to sign my paperwork for retirement. And with those challenges, I did not let it deter me. It could have broken me. It could have made me say, you know what, I have to run back to the familiar because I don't think this is going to work out. But when you're about to come to your greatest peak, go to your one of your greatest levels, go to something new, things are thrown at you just to see if you're going to be able to withstand the test. And I took those challenges, even though they made me uncomfortable, extremely uncomfortable. Mm. I took those challenges and I said, you know, this could happen to me even if I was to stay at my 9-to-5. So am I going to go back to the familiar and say this challenge is just going to break me down? Or am I going to still take that leap and jump over the challenge and keep pushing and move forward? And so I chose to jump over the challenge, keep pushing, and go forward and moved right into entrepreneurship.
Oh, wow. So you're telling me that even though it was something you knew you had to do, it still wasn't easy.
Not at all. But I knew the reward was great.
So true. Exactly. That is the point that I was getting to there. So how long did it take for you to start seeing some progress?
I'll tell you, let me see. I retired in August, and two months I started seeing the fruits of my labor. I was invited to do my first public speech. It was amazing. I ended up being the headliner for the event. I toured with AID Nation, Authors in Business. I've done 6 cities with them with the backing of Microsoft. I am now hosting my own conference this summer, which you are so graciously a part of, and I thank you for blessing this event. So entrepreneurship has its challenges, but it has so many more rewards.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because the rewards are very different, and I think it requires a change in your mindset for sure. Actually, I know it does, because you had to go from knowing that you're getting paid per hour and that the work you're doing is equating to a paycheck that you know you're going to get, to a completely different mindset, right?
Absolutely. When you decide to become an entrepreneur full time, it is up to you to go and get it. You know, I could stay at the courthouse. I could be there for 8 hours a day, you know, having a good time in the office with my friends, walking around with a bunch of cases in my arms all day. And I know that I'm going to get a paycheck in 2 weeks. I know that. But that wasn't enough for me. that wasn't satisfying to me any longer. I had filled, you know, the capacity that I needed to fill there, and now it was time for me to move on. So I know now as an entrepreneur, I've got to get up every day. I've got to plan out my schedule. I've got to manage things in a timely order because my money is strictly dependent on me. If I don't go after it, if I don't pursue the things that I need to do, then I don't eat. The Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And I need to eat. I need to pay bills. I need to do things for my family and with my family. So I had to make some major changes. I had to say, you know, now, Gina, this is all on you. And, you know, you're going to show up and show out, or you're going to sit down in the corner. And so I choose to show up and show out.
Hold on a minute. You said something very interesting. You mean that going into business for myself as an entrepreneur does not mean I still don't have bills to pay? I still have needs? There's no net underneath? Is that what you're saying?
There's no net underneath, and there's no palm trees to rest between. Absolutely not.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. So let me ask you this. You've already said it a few times. There are times when you're going to feel overwhelmed and maybe like where you're going is a little bit impossible. What do you do? How do you keep yourself moving instead of quitting?
Well, you have to remember this, Melissa, for myself, nothing is impossible. The Lord says that with Him, everything, all things are possible. Through Him, all things are possible. And I have to remember that in my mind. When challenges come, when it seems like I'm not going to make it, when I get overwhelmed, I have to say, you know what? He said that all things are possible. He didn't say some. He didn't say a few. He didn't say, you know, two or three. He said all. And I have to remember those key words. And a lot of times I have to play that back in my mind that the Lord said all things are possible. You have to work and do your part. But as long as you do your part and you stay in prayer with Him and communication with Him and let the Lord know what you need, that's my philosophy, then He'll make it happen. It's just a matter of time. It could be in God's speed. It could be in 5 years. It could be in 10. But as long as you believe it in your heart and you remember that all things are possible through Christ, then it's going to happen for you without a doubt.
So faith is a big key there. And I think I heard another piece there where you have to remind yourself. So that's a pep talk for yourself in the mirror. Are you doing the whole reminder of everything? Yep.
Absolutely. In the mirror, in the shower, pep talks all the time. They keep you going.
Oh, I got to ask this. Do you have to do pep talks before you get on your live streams, or are you already excited before you get on?
Oh, Melissa, I'm already excited. I am so excited to do my live streams. Oh, my gosh, I love doing live streams. I'm a member of Toastmasters. I go to Toastmasters every Thursday. And this past Thursday, I did a speech, and it was in regards to going live. And, you know, I knew that I was going to do the speech a week ago. And so I was every day I'm like, I need to write the speech. I need to write the speech. I need to sit down and write the speech. But every day I never wrote the speech because for me, I don't really need to write mine. You know what I mean? I can just get up there. I can get up there and wing it. And I'm like, you know, a little nervous when I got there because I didn't write it out, right? Most people have theirs written. But I get up there, I do the speech, and my evaluator and my whole club, it's called Justice Masters, they were like, Regina, you were amazing. And then now even one of the ladies in my club in Justice Masters, Taylor Coco, now she's one of my students. Now she wants me to coach her in live stream. So, you know, I get really excited about live stream.
So you showed up. You're doing things that you're passionate about, and people see that. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, so we talked about, you and I have talked about this before, this concept that people are called to a purpose. And what happens is we get stuck in this idea of the 40-year plan, right? And we lose our calling. We lose the fact that we're called, or we don't even know what we're called to do. So what would you say to someone who's in that position there? They're unsure about their life. They're unsure, is this all there is to my life? What do you say to them?
You know, I tell you to pay attention to what you're good at. Pay attention to what you love. Pay attention to what you cannot stop thinking about 24/7. If you pay attention and you really hone in, you'll find your craft, you'll find your niche, you'll find what you're most passionate about. Take that passion, run with it, make it work, turn it into profits, and go for it. Because if you don't, later down the line in life, you'll be saying, shoulda, woulda, coulda. And why say all that when you can just do it now?
Oh, wow. That is so true. The shoulda, woulda, couldas. You know, it's interesting you say it because I have a shoulda. And that was, I wish I had written my book a lot earlier. I wish I'd written all the books that I have planned a lot earlier than now, right?
Right.
But we talk ourselves out of those things. So tell me about your first book. What was your first book about?
My first book is a children's book, and it's so dear to my heart. It's called Little Gina Bakes Cupcakes with Mommy, and it's actually my story of me learning to bake. I actually learned to bake with my grandmother's, but I turned Little Gina baking with her mom, and she's 5 years old, and she's learning to bake with her mom for her birthday. And what's significant about this book that the reader may not know is my mom was really, really big on birthdays. My mom has since deceased, but literally the day before my mother died, and it was a sudden thing, she said, what are we going to do for Anajay's birthday? Anajay is my youngest daughter. And I said, oh, Mommy, I don't know. That's in April. That's in 4 months. I don't know. But my mother loved birthdays. Yeah, she loved birthdays. And you had to celebrate it in some type of way. Even if you had just an ice cream cone or you had a piece of cake or you just went, you know, to grab burgers and fries, you had to do something for your birthday. So this is why I wrote the story, Little Gina Bakes Cupcakes with Mommy, to showcase me baking with learning how to bake at a young age and to celebrate birthdays, because birthdays are milestones and they're so important. They're always memorable. And so Little Gina Bakes Cupcakes with Mommy is just a dear story. And all the people that have come in contact with the book, adults, children, preschools, they just absolutely love it. And they tell me, you know, parents have emailed me or texted me or, you know, see me in person and says, oh, my God, I have to read this story every day. You know, my kids love the story. Now we have to bake cupcakes every week, you know. So, I get a great response from it.
I love the book. I love the concept. Of course, I had to have one of your cupcakes recently. Well, I guess it was 6 months ago, but, you know, who's counting? I remember coming home from that event. I had your carrot cake cupcakes. Oh, they were so good. I was just in love. And I thought, I'm going to go home and make cupcakes. Well, you got to know, see, I don't bake. It's just, I mean, I'll, you know, take a box of Betty Crocker out and pour it in a bowl and, you know, add whatever it says to add and put it in the pan. But I am not generally a baker. And I thought to myself, I haven't made cupcakes in, I don't know, 15 years. I'm going to make cupcakes. So I went and made a batch. And you know what? 3 hours later, I was still frosting those dozen cupcakes and realizing, yeah, this is why I pay someone like Regina to make me cupcakes. They weren't nearly as good. So I love your Regina's cupcakes book. And I love that you shared that story with us. There's something else you shared 6 months ago with me about that book. When did you release that book?
Melissa, I released Little Gina Cupcakes with Mommy on my 50th birthday while I was vacationing with my family in Montego Bay, Jamaica.
Oh, that is so crazy. It's so cool.
So, yeah, and Mom, it was very intentional because, like I said, my mother was big on birthdays. She always had to do something to celebrate, to remember. So I thought it would be ideal to release the book on my 50th birthday, because writing the book was something that I always wanted to do.
That is so cool. So let me ask you this. You weren't always an author or a public speaker. What made you want to write and speak and go above just making the cupcakes?
Well,
what made
you
start to do that, really?
I've always wanted to write the book. I just didn't know how to get started until I came in contact with my publishing consultant, Desiree Lee of D. Lee Inspires. When I met Desiree teaching just encouraged me and just pushed me and just really showed me how. Taking her course, it just showed me how to get my book done and published in less than 24 hours. You know, something that had always been in me, she just showed me how to bring it out. And so that pushed me to write the book, to get it done. And becoming a speaker is kind of something that came natural to me. Now, speaking with Superior Court, I'll give Superior Court their credit. I used to be one of the jury room supervisors, you know, when the jurors come in every day for court. And every day I had to stand up in front of maybe 200 people, and I had to give these particular instructions for about 15 minutes. So every day I had my audience. So unbeknown to me, Superior Court really helped me to not be afraid to speak in front of people, to give me that audience. They had no choice, Melissa, but to listen to me. Nobody wanted to be there anyway for jury duty.
That's true, right?
But they had no choice. So, you know, it was like, I have control of the room. This is what I have to say. And everyone has to listen no matter what. So Superior Court kind of boosted me into my speaking, and now I do it as a profession, and I thank them for that.
That's awesome. I can totally see that because I've been a juror a couple of times, and nobody wants to be there, but they all got to listen. So I can picture that in my head. Oh, man. All right. So you talk about Desiree Lee and AIB Nation. Share a little bit about what is AIB Nation and how did that help you? How is that helping you with your plan?
AIB Nation is Authors in Business. We are all connected to Desiree Lee, our publishing consultant. Desiree has been instrumental in showing us how to publish our books, whether it's an e-book, whether it's print, whether it's audio. She showed us how to market our books. We've been on tour with her across the nation with Microsoft as our sponsor. We've done a 6-city tour. We were on hiatus for 2 months, and now we're back for the summer. We're touring all over the country again. We were just in Orlando. Next week we'll be in Dallas, New York. Chicago's coming up, Vegas, Atlanta's coming up. She has just showed us so much, something that you would not get from a major publishing company. And she really cares about us. She really cares about her clients. She pours a lot into us. She teaches us so much. And, you know, just being a part of AIB Nation, it is so well worth it. The camaraderie, the friendships that are made, the families, the support is incredible. Support that you don't even maybe receive from your family. It's just incredible, and I love being a part of AIB Nation.
That old saying, iron sharpens iron, I see that in AIB Nation. It's really, you aren't allowed to not do something. I mean, it's like you have to because everyone else is doing it, and they're moving in the direction you want to go. So
we move.
You're learning
one.
From exactly. That's awesome. So let me talk about this. So are there any habits that you have had to embrace that you found most helpful in dealing with these changes, going from employee to entrepreneur?
Yes. Going from employee to entrepreneur, as an employee, you're told what to do every day. You're given an assignment. I need you to do this. I need you to work this department. These are the steps that you need to take. You're given direction. You're delegated what to do. As an employee, you have to fine-tune your own time. You have to be disciplined enough to manage your day so you get everything done or, you know, at least started on it. And it's really a time management game. Time management. You've got to learn to manage your time, because if I just have an 8-hour day and I just waste it, I'm watching TV, I'm running around town, not necessarily doing anything, that's the time that I'm not making any money. So for me,
yeah,
I do something called Get It Done with Gina on Periscope. Get It Done with Gina, I do it Monday through Friday, and every day it's a different topic where I help people with their time management, because a lot of times I had things that I needed to do, and I knew what I needed to do in my head, but I didn't necessarily get those things done. And then it'll be 7 o'clock in the evening, and I'll be like, oh, my God, where'd the time go? I didn't get anything done.
Oh, yeah.
I needed to do this, this, and that. And, you know, so I had to get it done with Gina, and I tell the people that hang out with me on Periscope, you know, Get It Done with Gina. You guys are telling me that Get It Done with Gina is really helping you, but Get It Done with Gina was really for Gina to get it done. So I turned something that was personally helping me into a movement that helps other people at the same time.
That's awesome. I should start a making list, Melissa.
Yeah.
I spent a whole lot of time telling everyone under the sun I didn't need to make lists. It's all in my head. I got it all. I know what I need to do. And now I have 7 or 8 hats. I've lost track now. Different things that I'm working on, different strategies, different projects. And all of them are very different, but all of them have a list, right? They have a list of things to do. Like I have Coach on Fire Radio. I've got stuff I need to do every week for that, or even every day. And then, you know, I've got and that resets every 2 weeks. And then I've got the book, and what's the book going to do? So now I've made lists for each one, and so I can check them off and then add to it and focus my time. I think you're right about the whole having to kind of put blinders on for us, for each of us, so we focus on that one thing. Because for social media and for tech, there's always something new coming out, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yes. So what do you think? What do you think is the hardest change you've had to deal with as you became an entrepreneur?
The hardest change is being home all day. Not necessarily all day, but I'm here, you know, I have a 10-year-old. He'll soon be 10. He goes to school. I'm home working, and I don't have the camaraderie of the office. I don't have the chance to get up and go to another department or go deliver something or get files from a different building. My office is my home office, and sometimes it's a little confining. So in that, some days I don't work from home. Some days I may go to a Starbucks. Some days I may be at the library just to get a change of scenery, but still hone in my craft. Now, if it's a baking day, then that's a totally different thing. I'm in the kitchen all day. But if it's a Gina Inspires LA day, or, you know, it's Gina the Speaker day, I'm working on content for my conference or for my live streams or what have you, then I'll generally may go down to the beach and work just to get away from the four walls so I don't feel so trapped and closed in.
I totally understand that. I'm a social butterfly who works from home. So I totally understand. So, all right, so let's talk about this because we're running out of time. Tell me, you've talked about some of your challenges you've had and some of the ways to overcome, but if one thing from hearing you today, what is the one thing you want people to put into practice after hearing this show?
I want people to pay attention to what they love. I want people to pay attention to what people tell them that they're good at, that they may necessarily think like, oh, this is nothing. This is just what I like to do. I want people to pay attention to their craft. The thing that you think about 24/7 that you don't really think is a big deal, but everyone else tells you how great you are at it, or, you know, how great you are at organizing, or how great you are at, you know, cleaning, or whatever it is that you really love. Pay attention to that. Take that craft, take that talent, and monetize it, because we all have a talent, we all have a skill that someone else needs. And I want you to take that and make it your second stream of income. Even if you are working a 9-to-5, that's fine. That's all well and fine. But this day and age, we all need a second source, even a third, fourth, and fifth source of income. And just take your passion and turn it into profits and monetize it.
Yep. It never hurts to have a nest egg either, or to get out of debt for sure. So let's talk about how do people find you. Oh, wait, we have a special offer, don't we, for listeners of Coach on Fire?
We absolutely do. I'm having a conference this summer, August 19th, the Leap Don't Look Tour 2017. And what I'm offering to your listeners, Melissa, this is unbelievable. We're doing a live stream. We're going to live stream the conference. We have a live stream ticket. And for the first 10 people, yes, the first 10 people that follow me on my new Instagram account, Gina Inspires LA, which is also my new company, and they comment, Gina Inspires LA with Coach on Fire, it has to be exactly that, they will get free access to the live stream, which is happening on August 19th.
Free access for the first 10 people. That is amazing. Let's talk about what that is. What is Leap Don't Look all about?
Leap Don't Look is my conference is coming up. It is Leap Don't Look, the 2017 tour from employee to entrepreneur. It is myself, Deborah D. Jones, my 10-year-old son, Greg Walker, and, of course, yourself, Melissa Ruth. We are all entrepreneurs. We are encouraging, uplifting, and changing the mindset of those that are currently in business and those that want to go into business. That's what this conference is all about. And we are live streaming this event. It's happening in Newport Beach, August 19th, at the resort at Pelican Hill. For those that are not local or you've already used all your vacation time and you can't make it, we are live streaming. Yeah, some people have already been on vacation. We are live streaming the event.
I know it.
And for the first 10 people that follow me on Instagram at Gina Inspires LA, it is Gina_Inspires_LA, and they comment, Gina Inspires LA with Coach on Fire. Those first 10 people are going to get free access.
Wow, that is amazing, because, you know, one of the things that's so important is to learn from other people who've been there, so you don't have to walk through their minefields, right? You're walking through a mine. You don't have to hit the mine in the minefield.
Right.
All right, so tell our listeners how they can connect with you to potentially hire you for their event, to speak at their event. How do they do that?
You can hire me. You can find me. I also MC. You can find me on Gig Salad. That's G-I-G, saladlikeyoueat.com. You can email me at my email, which is my name, Regina Crayton, C-R-A-Y-T-O-N, 110@gmail.com. You can find me on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Periscope, YouTube. You can find me all over the place at Gina's Cupcake, Instagram, Gina's Cupcakes, and Gina Inspires LA. And that's Gina_Inspires LA.
And I will make sure that all of that contact information is on my website at melissaruth.net. And we'll update the Coach on Fire Facebook group. So if you're not part of the Coach on Fire Facebook group, well, get in there. And let's see. So you said you're going to be in Dallas for the AIB book tour next week. And we've got the Leap Don't Look tour next month, August 19th. What else do you have in August that people can catch you at?
In August, I will also be in Chicago with AIB, with Authors in Business, towards the end of Chicago. I believe the date, I have to confirm the date, but it's around maybe the 26th, 27th, something like that.
End of August, okay.
Also, I'll be in Dallas before AIB. AIB is on the 15th. I'll be in Dallas on the 13th. If anyone wants to do a meetup with me, I'll be there for a cake retreat. So I'm doing dual duty in Dallas next week. I'm there for a cake retreat, and I'm also there for AIB Nation, which is pretty exciting. I get to have a good time with on both of my crafts. Yes.
Yes,
I want some cake too, and everyone should eat cake for breakfast.
There we go. It's not let them eat bread, it's let them eat cake.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
That's awesome. And so, again, they can follow you on all the social media accounts to find out where you're going to be. Where is Gina today, right?
That's right. Where's Gina? Like, where's Waldo? Where's Gina? You can find me on Facebook at Regina Crayton. CRAYTON. You can find me on Instagram at Gina's Cupcakes and Gina Inspires LA, and that's Gore LA. You can find me on Periscope, Twitter, and Snapchat at Gina's Cupcake, and on YouTube at Regina Christine Crayton. Yes, you'll find me everywhere, all over the place. And also, Melissa, I also have a radio show that airs on Facebook Live Audio nightly at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time called Buttercream Conversations.
Ah, that's awesome. I love it. I have not gotten a chance to call in on that yet, but I love that you get to do that, and I'm excited for you. I'm excited to watch how things go. So with that, we are out of time. We have 2 minutes left. So Change Hackers, thank you for your patience during the technical difficulties. You have been listening to host Melissa Ruth with guest Regina Crayton here on Coach on Fire Radio. Don't forget to follow Regina Crayton on Instagram at, remind me, Regina?
Gina's Cupcakes and Gina Inspires LA. And that's Gina_Inspires_LA.
So you're going to want to do that and mention Coach on Fire, because if you do, you can get access to the Leap Don't Look Tour, and you want to be on that for sure. So I'm so glad that Regina was able to join me. I'm so glad for my listeners who are listening. If you have any recommendations on people you want me to interview or suggestions on the show, please email me or contact me on Facebook. My email address is info@melissaruth.net. Facebook, again, you can search for Change Hackers Facebook group. And to all my listeners out there, whether you're listening live or catching on the replay, I really hope you enjoyed the show and will join us again in 2 weeks for the next show on July 22nd. All right. So with that, this is Melissa Ruth, Change Hacker and Consultant, signing off. See you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want.